Oil worries blow right by Gustav.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Hurricane Gustav is no match for worries about slowing global demand for oil. Oil prices fell below $106 a barrel today. That's the lowest price since mid-April. Gustav caused less damage than expected to oil rigs and refineries in the Gulf Coast. Traders had their sigh of relief on that note, and then their attention turned to slowing global economic growth, speculating it's going to dampen demand for crude. Insurance companies are also breathing a sigh of relief today. After Hurricane Katrina, insurers reported losses topping $40 billion. Early estimates after Gustav put losses between $6 billion and $10 billion. And as Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports, private insurers are far less exposed than 3 years ago.
After Hurricane Katrina, many private insurance companies jacked up premiums along the Gulf Coast. Robert Hartwig is with the Insurance Information Institute.
The cost of homeowners insurance in coastal areas that are exposed to hurricanes today is higher than what it was pre-Katrina because the risk has been recognized to be greater.
Allison Pliers with the Greater New Orleans Community Data Center. She says many homeowners have faced a doubling in their premiums.
Homeowners insurance became incredibly expensive after Katrina, and a number of people did choose not to get it.
That means once the winds die down, it could leave some unlucky homeowners holding the bag. Gustav will also challenge state-run insurance programs. After Katrina, many private insurance companies stopped writing policies along the Gulf Coast. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The dip in oil prices is boosting markets overseas. European shares are up across the board this morning. It was a mixed day in Asia. Wall Street starts this new month after sending the key averages higher during August. The Dow lost 171 points Friday to 11,543. The Nasdaq is at 2367 after a drop of 44 points. The S&P 500 slipped 18 points Friday to 1282. Labor Day has come and gone. The traditional summer vacation is over. High gas prices and airfares were supposed to give hotels a case of the summertime blues, but enter the staycation. Many parts of the country saw aggressive marketing campaigns to, as they say in the travel business, put more local heads in more beds, Jean-Luc Renault reports.
Tourism bureaus across the country spent an average of 30% more on travel promotions this summer than last. Kathy Keefe is with the Travel Industry Association. She says a good portion of that $300 million went to courting locals too pinched to take long trips.
The travel industry was extremely proactive in going after what they call the close-in drive market. They knew that, based on past research, how travelers would react to rising gas prices in a shaky economy.
Many hotels even threw in cheap rooms, spa packages, and dining discounts. Mark Loge is with the Wilshire Grand Hotel in Los Angeles. He says staycation packages brought in about 10% of the hotel's summer bookings.
And really, that 10% really kind of makes up the shortfall that we were going to have this summer.
Staycations might have worked for Wilshire Grand, but they may not be enough to make up for industry-wide losses. Smith Travel Research Group reports summer hotel bookings in June and July were down from 2007, largely due to increased travel costs. I'm Jean-Luc Renault for Marketplace.
Even PBS stations worry about ratings. That's why reruns of the classic children's program Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood are being pulled by stations in cities like Chicago, New York, and L.A. The show's star, Fred Rogers, died 5 years ago. New episodes haven't been taped in 7 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
The College Board says students last year doled out an average of $800 to $1,200 for textbooks and supplies. A lot of students try to get by with used books. Publishers, in turn, put out new editions. So now some students are doing the same thing with books they do with music, ripping them off from file-sharing websites. Katie McPherson has more from New York.
I found this one a couple weeks ago.
In his dorm room at New York University, 19-year-old Nick is logging onto a website called Textbook Torrent. He's checking to see if any of the books for his fall courses have been copied and posted.
I download most of my music. I download almost all of my movies. And so downloading textbooks just seems like the next logical step.
Nick didn't want to use his full name. Downloading copyrighted material without permission is illegal. But like other college students, he's sick of dropping hundreds of dollars each semester on books.
I feel kind of cheated every time I go to the bookstore.
Not paying a lot for books is the primary motivation behind Textbook Torrent. More than 80,000 users have signed up to download scanned copies of textbooks, often breaking copyright laws. A computer programmer who goes by the name Geekman launched the site last year.
I'm not sure I'd say I'm the Robin Hood, but I know I'm operating in a legal gray area here. And I'm certainly appreciative of the fact that not everybody's going to agree with what we're doing.
Particularly the Association of American Publishers, whose members print over 85% of all college textbooks sold. They've sent takedown notices threatening legal action to Textbook Torrent and dozens of other file-sharing sites. Ed McCoy is director of digital policy. He says he doesn't think expensive textbook prices are encouraging illegal downloads.
I think it's just part of people liking to get things for free. I don't see this as some outcropping of the cost of books.
But economics professor James V. Cook of Old Dominion University says the textbook market is broken. There's little competition, and students often have no choice but to spend top dollar on required books. He wants to see schools develop alternatives, like textbook rental systems. But that's not likely to happen.
Until scholarly associations or boards of trustees actively get into this and say, you know, this market's not working to the benefit of students.
Meanwhile, publishers seem to have gotten the hint. Some have already begun providing discounted digital copies of textbooks. In New York, I'm Katie McPherson for Marketplace.
You can share your thoughts on this story and more by going to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for joining us and enjoy your day. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.